Welcome to the First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. Now, the Wednesday service.
Good evening. Theologian Henry Drummond, a contemporary of Mrs. Eddy's, published a book on love, the greatest thing in the world. She once said she had intended to write such a book herself, but Professor Drummond had done it so well that he had saved her the effort. The book is based on 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in the Bible. He expounds on how the spectrum of love has nine main, what he calls, ingredients: patience, kindness, generosity, humility, courtesy, unselfishness, good temper, guilelessness, and sincerity. He says these make up the supreme gift, the stature of the perfect man. I'm going to be taking the fifth ingredient, courtesy, and through the readings of the Bible and Science and Health by Mary Baker Eddy, discuss this aspect of love. This is what Drummond has to say on courtesy. This is love in society, love in relation to etiquette. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Politeness has been defined as love in trifles. Courtesy is said to be love in little things. And the one secret of politeness is to love. Love cannot behave itself unseemly. You can put the most untutored person into the highest society, and if they have reservoir of love in their heart, they will not behave themselves unseemly. You know the meaning of the word gentleman. It means a gentleman, a man who does things gently with love. And that is the whole art and mystery of it. The gentleman cannot, in the nature of things, do an ungentle or ungentlemanly thing. The ungentle soul, the inconsiderate, unsympathetic nature cannot do anything else. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 243. I'll read the third verse. This gentle grace of love divine is sweet as breath of an opening flower. Self-love and harshness disappear beneath its tender, healing power. Hymn 243. I'll read from the Bible, 1 Corinthians, love is not rude, Romans, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Titus, remind the believers to submit to the government and its officers. They should be obedient, always ready to do what is good. They must not slander anyone and must avoid quarreling. Instead, they should be gentle and show true humility to everyone.
She didn't even know.
And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee. And give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. 1 Samuel. There was a wealthy man from Maon who owned property near the town of Carmel. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and it was sheep shearing time. This man's name was Nabal, and his wife Abigail was a sensible and beautiful woman. But Nabal, a descendant of Caleb, was crude and mean in all his dealings. When David heard that Nabal was shearing his sheep, he sent 10 of his young men to Carmel with this message for Nabal. Peace and prosperity to you, your family, and everything you own. I am told that it is sheep shearing time. While your shepherds stayed among us near Carmel, we never harmed them, and nothing was ever stolen from them. Ask your own men, and they will tell you this is true. So would you be kind to us, since we have come at a time of celebration? Please share any provisions you might have on hand with us and with your friend, David. David's young men gave this message to Nabal in David's name, and they waited for a reply. Who is this fellow, David? Nabal sneered to the young men. Who does this son of Jesse think he is? There are lots of servants these days who run away from their masters. Should I take my bread and my water and my meat that I watered from my shepherds and give it to a band
without
laws?
I'm not sure it's coming in.
Who knows
but
where?
We'll have to wait and see.
They returned and told him of what Nabal had said.
Okay.
Get your sword, David replied as he strapped on his
arm.
Then 400 men started off with David, and 200 remained behind to guard their equipment. Meanwhile, one of Nabal's servants went to Abigail and told her, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, but he screamed insults at them. These men have been very good to us, and we never suffered any harm from them. Nothing was stolen from us the whole time they were with us. Abigail wasted no time. She quickly gathered 200 loaves of bread, 2 wineskins full of wine, 5 sheep that had been slaughtered, nearly a bushel of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 fig cakes. She packed them on donkeys and said to her servants, "Go on ahead. I will follow you shortly." But she didn't tell her husband Nabal what she was doing. As she was riding her donkey into a mountain ravine, she saw David and his men coming toward her. When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed low before him. She fell at his feet and said, "I accept all blame in this matter, my lord. Please listen to what I have to say. And here is a present that I, your servant, have brought to you and your young men. Please forgive me if I have offended you in any way. The Lord will surely reward you with a lasting dynasty, for you are fighting the Lord's battles, and you have not done wrong throughout your entire life." David replied to Abigail, "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you to meet me today. Thank God for your good sense. Bless you for keeping me from murder and from carrying out vengeance with mine own hands." Then David accepted her present and told her, "Return home in peace. I have heard what you said. We will not kill your husband." Hebrews. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversary, as being yourselves also in the body. Matthew. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Genesis. The sons of Noah who came out of the boat with their father were Shem, Ham, Japheth. Ham is the father of Canaan. From these three sons of Noah came all the people who now populate the earth. After the flood, Noah began to cultivate the ground, and he planted vineyards. One day he drank some wine he had made, and he became drunk and lay naked inside his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw that his father was naked and went outside and told his brothers. Then Shem and Japheth took a robe, held it over their shoulders, and backed into the tent to cover their father. As they did this, they looked the other way, so they would not see him naked. When Noah woke up from his stupor, he learned what Ham, his youngest son, had done. Then he cursed Canaan, the son of Ham. May Canaan be cursed. May he be the lowest of servants to his relatives. Then Noah said, "May the Lord, the God of Shem, be blessed, and may Canaan be his servant. May God expand the territory of Japheth. May Japheth share the prosperity of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant." James. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Matthew. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I shall now read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Spiritual living and blessedness are the only evidences by which we can recognize true existence and feel the unspeakable peace which comes from an all-absorbing spiritual love. All nature teaches God's love to man, but man cannot love God supremely and set his whole affections on spiritual things while loving the material or trusting in it more than in the spiritual. Like our Master, we must depart from material sense into the spiritual sense of being. The God-inspired walk calmly on, though it be with bleeding footprints, and in the hereafter they will reap what they now sow. The pampered hypocrite may have a flowery pathway here, but he cannot forever break the golden rule and escape the penalty due. We should become more familiar with good than with evil and guard against false beliefs as watchfully as we bar our doors against the approach of thieves and murderers. We should love our enemies and help them on the basis of the Golden Rule. Watching beside the couch of pain and the exercise of a love that is the fulfilling of the law, doing unto others as ye would that they should do unto you. This is no infringement of the law, for no demand, human or divine, renders it just to punish a man for acting justly. Ham, Noah's son, corporeal belief, sensuality, slavery, tyranny. Canaan, the son of Ham, a sensuous belief, the testimony of what is termed material sense, the error which would make man mortal and would make mortal mind a slave to the body. If mortals would keep proper ward over mortal mind, the brood of evils which infest it would be cleared out. We must begin with this so-called mind and empty it of sin and sickness, or sin and sickness will never cease. Sin and disease must be thought before they can be manifested. You must control evil thoughts in the first instance, or they will control you in the second. Evil thoughts, lusts, and malicious purposes cannot go forth like wandering pollen from one human mind to another, finding unsuspected lodgment. If virtue and truth build a strong defense. Before error is wholly destroyed, there will be interruptions of the general material routine. Earth will become dreary and desolate, but summer and winter, seed time and harvest, though in changed forms, will continue unto the end until the final spiritualization of all things. The darkest hour precedes the dawn. This material world is even now becoming the arena for conflicting forces. On one side, there will be discord and dismay. On the other side, there will be science and peace. The breaking up of material beliefs may seem to be famine and pestilence, want and woe, sin, sickness, and death, which assume new phases until their nothingness appears. These disturbances will continue until the end of error, when all discord will be swallowed up in spiritual truth. Love will finally mark the hour of harmony, and spiritualization will follow, for love is spirit. Shem, Noah's son, a corporeal mortal, kindly affectionate, love rebuking error, reproof of sensualism. Japhet, Noah's son, a type of spiritual peace flowing from the understanding that God is the divine principle of all existence, and that man is his idea, the child of his care. The universe of spirit is peopled with spiritual beings, and its government is divine science. Man is the offspring, not of the lowest, but of the highest qualities of mind. Man understands spiritual existence in proportion as his treasures of truth and love are enlarged. Mortals must gravitate Godward. Their affections and aims grow spiritual. they must near the broader interpretations of being and gain some proper sense of the infinite in order that sin and mortality may be put off. Whoever reaches this point of moral culture and goodness cannot injure others and must do them good. The greater or lesser ability of a Christian Scientist to discern thought scientifically depends upon his genuine spirituality. Paul said, "To be spiritually minded is life." We approach God or life in proportion to our spirituality, our fidelity to truth and love. The fruit of spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Clad in the panoply of love, human hatred cannot reach you. The cement of a higher humanity will unite all interests in the one divinity. When humanity does understand this science, it will become the law of life to man, even the higher law of soul, which prevails over material sense through harmony and immortality. From love and from the light and harmony, which are the abode of spirit, only reflections of good can come. Is there no divine permission to conquer discord of every kind with harmony, with truth and love? Unless the harmony and immortality of man are becoming more apparent, we are not gaining the true idea of God, and the body will reflect what governs it, whether it be truth or error, understanding or belief, spirit or matter. Therefore, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Be watchful and sober and vigilant. The way is straight and narrow, which leads to the understanding that God is the only life. It is a warfare with the flesh in which we must conquer sin, sickness, and death, either here or hereafter, certainly before we can reach the goal of spirit or life in God. Only the action of truth, life, and love can give harmony. Today, the healing power of truth is widely demonstrated as an eminent eternal science instead of a phenomenal exhibition. Its appearing is the coming anew of the gospel of on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Glory be to God and peace to the struggling hearts. Christ hath rolled away the stone from the door of human hope and faith, and through the revelation and demonstration of life in God, has elevated them to possible at-one-ment with the spiritual idea of man and his divine principle, love. And we solemnly promise to watch and pray for that mind to be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, to do unto others as we would have them do unto us, and to be merciful, just, and pure. Let's have a few moments of silent prayer and then pray together the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Well, we're singing 126, so I don't know what happened. Let's sing our second hymn, 126. I'll read the first verse. How sweet, how heavenly is the sight when those who love the Lord in one another's peace delight and so fulfill his word. Hymn number 126. Good evening, and welcome again to you all that have joined us on the call-in line. We are so glad that you have joined us. I have a couple of announcements. First of all, our Thanksgiving service is not at 10, it's at 10:30. I must have had a brain freeze there. It's just like our church service, so ignore the 10 o'clock announcement, and it is at 10:30. And then Fifth Church is having their annual music program, a concert of joyous Christmas music. This is going to be Friday, December the 6th at 7:30 at their church, this Church of Christ Scientist in Indianapolis on the corner of College and East 62nd Street. There will be music, violin, voice, cello, piano, and pipe organ, as well as carol singing. In the past, I've been there almost every year, I think. It's wonderful. You won't want to miss it. Now it's your turn to share any insights that you have or any healings that you would like to share with us tonight. Loli has the microphone. If you feel more comfortable staying seated, please feel free to do so. Make sure you hold the microphone nice and close so everyone online can hear and the people in our audience can hear as well. Now it's your turn to share.
Thanks for those readings, Jean. just grateful for two healings recently. One, our daughter was not feeling well last week, and I was just grateful because, you know, she's always sweet. She asked for treatment right away, and so, you know, we did some treatments actually together, and she moved past it pretty quickly. So I was just so grateful for that. I love the immediacy of healing and these practical tools that we have that are very helpful and active and reassuring, and they always have an effect. So I'm so grateful for that one. And then today, me and Isaac went to the gym, and you know, after reading this week's lesson, you know, just to be honest, it's funny. You really think about your motive and your activity and really the spiritual impetus or purpose of everything you do, and what it is that and what it is you're expressing. And so even before going today, you know, I'm just so consumed with this lesson on soul and body, and just been reading the different pages on the certainty of what governs man's reality, being spirit and spiritual, and that the body is not the governor and it doesn't communicate. All communication is from God to man, and that is what is real. So anyways, I was going today. It was just, you know, I love going and expressing dominion and camaraderie with my son, and the vitality and freedom of movement and strength. I just love all these qualities. Well, anyways, well, we were there, and we have this one thing we do, and we had done it like, it isn't something that I normally do with these weights. So, and a week ago or so was maybe the second time ever I had done this, and I had some seeming, I did treat it so quickly or as well, and had some seeming soreness. Well, anyways, we were doing it again today. I didn't think anything of it, but I got over there and we were doing this thing, and I hurt my back pretty good. I you know, and it was one of those things, you know, right away you're like, why did I try and do that last one with all that weight? And Isaac was crushing it, so I was just trying to, I couldn't even do half of what he was doing. I was just, you know, it's funny. So, but anyways, mentally being where I was, and it was definitely some discomfort for the next little bit, and we were continuing to go on, and I was just working through it as quickly as I could. But it was funny. Someone made a comment about a healing that a teacher had shared about a car accident, and the comment was, "Well, don't get back in that car." And anyway, so I just moved on as quickly as I could. Don't get back under those weights. You know, and then this week's lesson was so helpful that it really just, I felt so much conviction that our experience is mind with a capital M communicating our well-being and our vitality and our health and our strength. It is not a physical experience, and the body is not communicating the implications of physiology and blah, 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 right? And so I was just right there so quickly, and I was so convinced of it because of this week's lesson. And it was funny. And then he's like, "Oh, we're going to go over and do this other stuff." And it was some stuff using the back to a pulse and different stuff. And what's funny is when I got done being so convinced of that in thought, it just had evaporated. And I left there, and as the day had moved on and I got home, I was just so grateful. No discomfort, no soreness, no nothing. So I am just so grateful for Mrs. Eddy's guidance on the healing efficacy of divine science. you know, and her understanding of what Jesus was doing in expressing Christ and how practical it is for us in our everyday experience. So just so grateful for that healing.
Thank you.
From last week, I just wanted to share your thank you for the readings you read last week on humility. I really appreciated it. And I was thinking during last week's service when I was here about a lot of different ways I've learned to express more humility over the years. And when one of them has to do with coming from a big family of eight brothers and sisters. And it seems like growing up, there was like a lot of competition and a lot of good things too, of course, but a lot of competition. And being the middle child, it seemed like, thinking back then, sometimes it was like, oh, I got blamed for everything, you know? And then as we got to be adults, you know, we get together here and there. It seemed like more, you know, several years ago, I kind of had to deal a lot with because my brothers joke a lot. There are five of them, and but some of them are cut down kind of jokes. So one brother would say it to another, and then he'd get defensive back, and those kind of things. And I remember I would get those at me, and sometimes about things I did too that sometimes I didn't even remember. You know, so I tried to think of something back, or sometimes you do a jab back to them. But I really learned over the years to, at those times, which were, you know, happy family times, you know, that's what those times were supposed to be about, to learn to not be defensive and not to jab back, and to smile and be humble inside. And part of that also was learning more and more to just see love, you know, if it was from whatever reason it came out, usually behind something, it's for us just to know that that person feels God's love and is God's child, like behold the child of God. And then I would smile, and you know, and I just grew a lot with that. And two things from that later on, I don't know how long ago it was, but I remember one of my brothers saying to me once, he says, boy, you can sure smile at anything, and that's so neat, you know. And then also another product of that, it seems like the two or three times we get together a year during the year now, I know there's just less and less of that, and there's just more love for each other in the family and support. And I really appreciate that. And your second hymn, I don't know if I have the words exactly right, but I love that part that says, each can his brother's failings hide and show a brother's love. And that's what it's all about. Whether it's our real brother, a friend, someone we work with, when we try to hide someone's failing, we're seeing love, and they're showing love is what we see expressed. And thank you very much for your readings tonight, too. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm reminded to share something I've shared before, but reminded to share it. It came to mind today in a conversation with somebody. It's been several years ago, but it was right before Christmas. And just thinking about how God takes care. I was with clients over on just east of Hazeldale Parkway, north of 116th Street, and we had finished an extensive inspection on a property, and I pulled out. Nothing was coming, and I pulled out into the median in the center and was looking to my right, and my clients were headed to a business party following, so they were behind me in their car. When a young person was going 80 miles an hour, lost control, and this is, I'm telling you what I was told by others later, but T-boned into my car. My clients had my husband's phone number and called him. Looking back on it now, I think that was probably the time we were working through a challenge with a steeple, because he was close by. And he, on his way there, he called our daughter and asked her, I'll get a little emotional here, to call a Christian Science practitioner, which was done. He got there. The police were there, but the emergency vehicle hadn't arrived, and was able to tell the paramedics that we were Christian Scientists, and that he didn't want anything administered, which is often done, I understand, in such cases. And to human sense, I was in and out of consciousness. Meanwhile, he rode with me in the ambulance, and I don't recall any of that, but I'm telling you what I was told following that. And we were taken to the hospital here in Carmel, and practitioner work was going on. And 3.5 hours later, I, with full cognizance, walked with my husband out of the hospital, was offered a wheelchair, etc., but walked out. And obviously there was prayerful work that needed to be continued about the challenges of being bruised, etc. And meanwhile, I don't know if I said earlier, both axles on the car were broken, and just amazing to have seen how one mind was protecting, and thinking about it, how family was contacted, Christian Science practitioner was contacted, and the work was effective. I am truly grateful for Christian Science. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to express gratitude for the readings, and knowing each Wednesday night what our theme is going to be, and I don't know whether that's the teacher coming out of me or I don't know what, but anyway, it's just wonderful to give thought to what's coming and then see how it is presented and then to relate to it. And it's been very, very much a blessing to me personally, and to our family, my wife and I and our children. And then an experience that we had years and years ago was also brought to mind tonight. And I'm not sure why, but it was, we were traveling in Africa. And we had gone the year before. My wife had a desire to see the world before we had children. So her goal was to make as many unusual and wonderful trips as we could before we started a family. And the year before, as I said, we'd gone to South America. And that was clearly a challenge. And I said, Marilyn, I'm not going to Africa with you on a middle price tour. We're going to do it right this time and pay a little more. That was fine with her. She didn't care as long as she got to go to Africa. But we went with six couples. 12 of us were on that tour, which was a very small group. And we had a personal guide for the entire tour from the United States. And then we also had local guides in each country we went into. And the group we went with, as you know, on the tour, were very interesting people. You know, I want to say experienced. They were well traveled, what have you. And one lady in particular, she was from California, and she was a tutor to the movie stars. And we had just recently seen the movie Judy Garland, and she was one of Judy Garland's tutors. So she was fascinating, needless to say. But anyway, on this tour, there were a lot of opportunities for us to do things and see things that were above and beyond. And I was constantly grateful and happy that we had done this, because I was happy as a lark. I bought zebra skins. I was just having a good time. And Marilyn was able to interact and be with some of the locals and people in our group. And at the end of the tour, we were in Paris for dinner. That was our last stop. We went from from Uganda to, and we met, well, Big Daddy Amin was in power at that moment. But anyway, we went from Uganda to Paris and then from Paris back to the United States. And in Paris, this lady said, well, you've been a delightful, interesting young couple, but you, young man, are clearly, and I'm just going to say what she said, new money. You love spending it. You love enjoying yourself and what have you. But you, my dear, your focus is mankind and being loving and kind to individuals. And, you know, she said, you've brought such goodness on our tour and harmony. And I thought, gosh, that's what we're all, as our readings are telling us, to be about. And caring and giving. And there's just, it's not hard. It's just a matter of doing what we've already learned and what we are learning in science. So I'm grateful for the readings, really grateful. And I'm grateful for the experiences I've had throughout my lifetime, seeing what's truly, truly important and real in our lives. And that's giving and caring and loving others. Not so much what we accumulate, although that's not bad. No, never mind. Thank you.
Thank you all for your testimonies. We're going to sing 179, and I'm going to read the first verse. Love one another, word of revelation. Love frees from error's thrall. Love is liberation. Love's the way the master trod. He that loves shall walk with God. Love is the royal way. Hymn number 179. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to First Church of Christ Scientus Carmel Wednesday evening service. You can join us any Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. at our church located at 116th and Haverstick Road in Carmel. Or give us a call on the Listen Line, 317-688-9898. 317-688-9898. Thanks again for listening.